Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 33 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode, I get a chance to speak with Chip Stamey from Stamey's Barbecue in Greensboro, North Carolina. They have two locations in Greensboro. This one's really special to me because it is one of the very first barbecue joints that I ever went to. California is kind of a blend of different styles, so I never had gone to a place that was specifically regional. And Stamey's was because I used to go back there for business, and it was one of the very first places. And I fell in love as soon as I got there. It's really neat because he is third generation. They've been open since 1930. He's third generation, and his son is going to be working with him. So there'll be four generations that have worked at Stamey's Barbecue. He talks about the culture, the history of North Carolina barbecue, as well as Stamey's. We talk about their pits. We talk about sweet tea. We talk about their sandwich is only $3.45. We talk about that and the economics of barbecue. And I really, really think you're going to enjoy this.
So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe. I'll be adding at least 2 to 3 of these per week. If you want to check out YouTube versions of these, you can go to youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have versions of these as well as tours of barbecue joints, tours of wood piles, lots of cool stuff. You can check me out at Kevin's BBQ Joints on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the whole lot. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy this.
Well, good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful Carolina blue sky out here today.
Is it a nice day today?
It is. It's been really sort of nasty for the last 3 days, so we're glad to have a nice one.
Yeah. Is this kind of like the sweet spot time of year for you guys weather-wise?
This is a good one. You know, the spring is a beautiful, I guess we have all four seasons, but spring is definitely, when we are shining in North Carolina.
And when it's not too hot, right? Not too humid.
You're right. Especially for barbecue cooks. Those Julys can be sort of rough.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I want to know about that too, because a lot of people don't probably know how important dealing with the weather is a big facet of what you do.
It is. I mean, we call it barbecue weather here, though. It's interesting. It's probably just wise tales from the ages of when people didn't eat. We cook pork exclusively. So people didn't eat pork in the summer because they didn't have refrigeration, essentially.
Yeah, unsafe.
And so they just got in the habit of only doing it in the wintertime. So winter has always been the better time for barbecue for us. But now, thank goodness, it's people understand that we have refrigeration. We can cook it all the time.
That's good. That helps out a lot. Yeah. So tell me about your background as well as your family's background. How long have you guys had the business?
So Stamey's Barbecue started in 1930 by my grandfather, Warner Stamey. It was a place. We came out of Lexington, which is sort of the hotbed of North Carolina barbecue for our style of barbecue. And so we've been business, well, goodness gracious, what is that, 88 years.
Is it called Piedmont style? Is that what?
No, it's not. It's really called Lexington style.
Lexington style.
Yeah, which makes it confusing because we're not in Lexington. But the Piedmont is sometimes put into it. And then sometimes, I think, erroneously, that people say Western style because there's Eastern and Western. We definitely are not Western style. I mean, there is maybe three kinds in North Carolina. There's sort of a Piedmont or Lexington style, as you say. There's the Eastern whole hog. And then Western's more just really more down the way of almost thick sauce, Kansas City pork, but not really anything like what we do. So got a lot of differences in North Carolina.
Yeah, there is. And that's, I think that's so unique too, because people might not realize they might just kind of slap an entire style in the whole state or even North and South Carolina when there's huge differences.
Exactly. And there's three or four in South Carolina, so even to make it more confusing.
Exactly. Well, make it more confusing or more fascinating and exciting, right, for people to because they need to travel around and try it. So did you grow up in the barbecue business? Like, I mean, I know family-wise, but were you working, like, bussing tables?
Sure. I'm third generation. You know, my dad was second generation. So if you're a Stamey, you start early. You know, sort of the same stories you'll hear from anybody. When you're old enough to hang around the restaurant, you're picking up bottles and paper in the parking lot, you're mowing grass. You graduate into actually working in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And be able to get inside and clean tables or wash dishes. Or in our case, you know, we do a lot of cooking, so getting in the pit. But I've been around probably, you know, hard since I was 14.
So you're 14.
And I'm 50 now, so.
Well, you look good for 50. You look really good.
My dad was nice to me. He had to come home at lunch from school, grade school and in high school to work in the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was just what was expected of you back then. So he laid off of me and only made me do it after school.
What was the restaurant like when your dad was there? Was when your dad was working?
So he actually was born in Lexington. So Stamey's now is in Greensboro, but for half of our time we were in Lexington, mm-hmm. where my grandfather started. And so it was right there in the middle of town, right across from the courthouse. Started out as a sort of like shanty sheds with mud floors and 8-seat counters, and only open when court was in session. Which is interesting.
Oh, interesting. That's really interesting.
You know, think about it. There really weren't restaurants mm-hmm. in the 30s. It was just, you know, I guess you would call it now a shack.
Shack. There might have been food stands, maybe. The people maybe or like, not trailers, but like, yeah.
Right. So there were just little diners towards the 50s. Mm-hmm. But in his time, it was very small. And then it grew. And you know, my grandfather sort of, started that in Lexington. He obviously learned from somebody else too, but the guys he learned from were really doing it sort of for harvest festivals and okay. You know, when they brought in the tobacco or the crop, they would have big parties and stuff, and then they just started selling it just in sandwiches right there in downtown Lexington.
So they were chopped pork. Explain a little bit of why pork is so prevalent in North Carolina for people that might not know. Are there lots of farms out? Is it?
I think so. I mean, it is a popular meat. I think that, you know, it's cerebrally that actually there was more pork in North Carolina just because it was brought here by the settlers.
Okay.
We just didn't have beef, really. Mm-hmm. The English and also the Germans were, that was a big something that they ate, and so I think that's how I got here mainly. Wow. But in our case, in the 30s or in Stamey's and in Lexington style, pork was also there just because that was the what was available. Mm-hmm. You know? And then there, you also had the war when things were rationed, and you had to get something from what was local. You couldn't get it, you couldn't buy it. So
that's true. What year did you guys move to Greensboro?
So we actually were in Lexington until, gosh, you're testing me.
Yeah, sorry. Roughly.
That's okay. You know, they'll hold me to the exact date, but I think we were out of there around in the 1965. We probably closed our last restaurant in Lexington, but we had four going through my dad's sort of early reign, and moved to Greensboro in 1953. So we've certainly been in Greensboro for a long time at this location.
How many for some reason I thought that you had three locations at one point. Was it four at the most?
Okay, four at the most. There was one in High Point.
Okay,
you talked about going to High Point.
That's the one there.
Time. And then two in Greensboro now. And mm-hmm. we've had two in Greensboro since the 70s, mm-hmm. 1970 actually. There's one across town, but now the extent of Stamey's is two. But then there were three in Lexington at one time in my grandfather's time. He's credited, and that's interesting, but he was really an entrepreneur of barbecue. He liked the idea of opening restaurants and sort of setting them up more than he liked. I mean, he ran them too, but I mean, he was always dreaming of a better way to do things.
So that was exciting for him to open up new restaurants.
Yeah, it was. And my dad sort of got that too. My dad actually was interesting. He comes from the time of keeping it simple and trying to cut it down to the bare bones. Mm-hmm. Even took things away that my grandfather had added into it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stamey's is interesting. Than a lot of barbecue places, in that we just don't have a huge menu. You mm-hmm. know, sort of like there's a few in North Carolina that are the same way, but not many. You know, we're very very basic when it comes to what we sell. It's just the chopped pork, cooked 10 hours over hardwood coals. We have hush puppies, slaw, and we've added some things since then, but it's really, that's what people expect when they get here and eat.
Oh, yeah.
This.
Oh, without a doubt. And so to fully describe your menu too, you have Brunswick stew, and I want to get into that because a lot of people, I think that when I would travel to North Carolina for business, and we were talking, I used to come to High Point twice a year, and having Brunswick stew and even hush puppies, I wasn't even familiar with what hush puppies were.
Right.
Did you guys always, did you have that always on the menu? Like the
Brunswick's on, it's relatively new. When we added chicken to our menu, I'd say that was probably 18 years ago or so. We really just needed a place, you know, to keep the chicken that we didn't use and chop it up. And so we said, let's do what they do down east and let's cook some Brunswick stew. It's a really a great stew. It's good for us. So give us something else to eat in the restaurant too that has some vegetables in it. And so that's where it came from. But Hush Puppies really is interesting. That is my grandfather sort of is credited, you know, with pairing barbecue, not with inventing the Hush Puppy, but pairing it with barbecue. It used to be the only thing exclusively done in fish camps. What the fish camp was a place where you fried fish, and they usually on a Friday or a Saturday night they would go eat, and they made Hush Puppies. And one of his good friends owned a fish camp, and so he sort of talked him into having Hush Puppies in his restaurant.
Was that a recipe, like an old recipe, or was that a family recipe, or?
Yeah, I mean, our Hush Puppies are really basic. They're not real sweet like a lot of people's Hush Puppies. It's just good old stone ground cornmeal. Little bit of flour, and we put onion in ours. We don't even put any sugar in ours.
It's more savory. I know. That's why I love yours.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and then and your coleslaw is specific to you guys too.
My grandfather had a lady, Miss Del Yarborough was her name, that worked in his restaurant, and she's sort of credited with the slaw recipe that we use, which is unique in that there's no mayonnaise in it. It's cabbage. It's really the ingredients of our sauce, which is a little bit of ketchup, not a ton. Salt, sugar, red and black pepper, and vinegar, of course, and makes our slaw sort of unique and different than most anything you'd run into.
Now, who created the sauce? Was that woman? Did she help create the sauce? Or?
No, the sauce existed with the pioneers, the Lexington style. That really comes from two guys that started in Lexington, a guy named Sid Weaver and a guy named Jess Swicegood.
Wrote about them. Okay.
And actually, my grandfather, who you know, our founder, learned from Jess Swicegood and Sid Weaver, just the two guys that were before him there in Lexington. And there's nobody knows what happened before those two guys. Mm-hmm. They're really considered the founders of our style of barbecue.
And when did you officially take over the reins of Steamies?
So I went to high school, worked all throughout high school, went to college. When I got out and worked, the Stamey way, we say you have to work somewhere for at least a couple of years before you get in the restaurant, just to give you some perspective, you know, because since you've been doing it all your life, you need to have a little feeling for what the world's about. So I had my stint in the corporate world. And then 1994, I believe, is when I started straight up with Stamey's.
And what was the clientele like then as opposed to now? Has it changed and has social media kind of changed things at all or made people do more road trips?
I'd say our base clientele hasn't changed probably at all. The part you're talking about makes a lot of sense, but there's always been this sort of people who travel around and check it out. Mm-hmm. They call it 100-mile, I call them 100-mile barbecue people or 200-mile barbecue people. What's changed now is now we're getting them from Belgium and...
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Spain, Italy, you know, there's people really interested even internationally about it. But there's always been the people who traveled around. But I'd say that was, you know, in the low 10%. You know, barbecue is a very personal food to the people here. It's not like a special event food here. People can eat it 3 or 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, they do that.
Yeah, it's just like people eat hamburgers somewhere else or do sandwiches. It's just part of the culture and part of the fabric of what
it is. Our regional food, it's not I'm sure you've heard it, but barbecue is not a picnic, it's not an event, a party here. It's a place. Mm-hmm. it's a place you go to eat our style of barbecue in the environment, you know, that we serve it. So that's sometimes people have a hard time understanding that just because they think of that as grilling out.
That's true. You
know, we're really crazy about not equating it with cooking out, you know, this is a whole nother thing.
And generally people have their barbecue with sweet tea.
We do. Sweet tea is a beautiful, you know, it's funny though, even it's in my lifetime that sweet tea has sort of become the major drink of barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, you know, a kid, one of my jobs would be making sweet tea. We made it and I might've made it in 3 gallons in before we opened up in the morning, and that would get us through lunch.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy.
I mean, really, there was a lot more soft drink drinking back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just Pepsi and Coke were a major drink in this area. But the tea just sort of through my lifetime has just taken over. You know, yeah. We sell a lot of tea.
Yeah, it's funny too, because when I had my first sweet tea, like, because they sell sweet tea everywhere, but when I had my first, I think at Stamey's, this was the first time I had it, and it was, to me, it was so sweet. I wasn't prepared for how sweet it was. I didn't realize it was that sweet tea with a little sweetener, but it's really sweet.
And we I'd say now if you drank it, comparing it to a lot of sweet teas, ours is not as sweet as maybe the Southern style sweet tea. I mean, it's plenty sweet, don't get me wrong, but the spoon doesn't stand up in the glass, you know, because it's that sweet.
Yeah. It's not like how it, like the salt and sea where you can just float with that.
You know, I don't even know how they can super saturate the solution to get it as sweet as they do in some places.
No, the very last time I went to Stamey's, it wasn't as sweet as it was, but the first time I had it, I thought, well, you know, it's just because my palate wasn't prepared for real sweet tea.
Right. If you've never drank sweet tea, though, I could see where it would be a new thing. But and tea's actually improved. I mean, that's what's funny. Everything's improved. You know, coffee's improved, tea's improved. But now we get great tea. We brew it differently, you know, fresh. Back in those days, honestly, they actually would use like Nest tea. I'm talking about everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There was no tea brewers. That didn't exist. You couldn't get loose leaf tea if you wanted to. So luckily, the things change and get better sometimes too.
Yeah, I know for sure. So I want to know more about your pits. Explain that, and also kind of capacity, because that's fascinating. Sure. How long you have to cook?
Right. So our pit is located on our property. I'm in the restaurant right now, but tried to find a quiet place where we could talk. But so far, it's working out. I'm surprised they haven't come in and banged any pots or anything. But our pits are located here on our property here in Greensboro. We have the two restaurants, and so we cook at one place for both restaurants. Mm-hmm. Our pits have been the current ones we're using have been here since 1965, I believe. Okay. And we have 12 pits in there. We cook pork shoulders exclusively. We don't cook whole hogs, so it's a big pit. It was sort of designed in size for multiple restaurants, and so I guess some people see it and just are sort of awed by it just because of its size. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to see one that big, you know, when you get to a restaurant. I've seen a few maybe down in Texas that are, you know, Kreitz or Smitty's or somebody like that. You know, I've seen some bigger operations, but we have a pretty large pit, but it's still exclusively. We can't run them without wood. We don't have electrical connection as far except for the lights, we don't have any gas. You know, so we are still cooking with hardwood hickory coals in those pits.
And what time are people getting in? What time are you putting meat on the pits?
So we cook in one shift. We cooked we get them here as early as we can. Normally that's 4 o'clock.
Okay.
The process takes 8 to 10 hours. You know, you always are. We can always get some meat off for lunch, mm-hmm. But then normally it's all done right around by 2:30, 3.
Okay.
You know, there's always a few that have to stick around a little longer. You know, we don't have any thermometers that we use regularly. We have them. Mm-hmm. We have them because we have to, but we go by feel and by sticking the fork in it. That's when it's done.
No, yeah, exactly. And what's interesting is I recently interviewed John Shelton Reed I'm putting together these Barbecue City guides. Kind of people have them online, written down, but it's like I wanted to have something visual and have something that's kind of more experiential. And he was saying what's the price of your chopped pork sandwich?
Okay, so right now it's $3.45.
That is
$3.45. Yeah, and so that's one of the things that probably makes us a little different than most any barbecue. We've always tried to be a very good value. Mm-hmm. We'd rather serve a lot of people than a few people with white tablecloths and valet parking, wine lists and all that. That's just not barbecue's going that way. But
no, it is for sure.
But Stamey's barbecue's not going that way. And so we really, it's just the three corners of our business is cooking it low traditionally the correct way, but then it's really a fast, it's a slow food served fast. Mm-hmm. So it's unique in that. And then the value, people really can get out of here, for right around, with a drink and all that, around $7-$8.
That's great. That's better than most places across the United States.
We actually beat a lot of fast food places as far as the pricing now.
Oh yeah.
But barbecue can be that way. Pork traditionally has been a lower price mm-hmm. product. And so, I think it's neat when people can get, $18 a plate and all that. That's just not. That's not what we do.
Your business model.
Yeah, the business model is we want to have a lot of customers, not just a few. Yeah,
I think that's fascinating, and that's what also makes you guys stand out amongst a lot of places and across the United States. So I commend you guys for for making it work because your everyday customer is someone that probably wants a not an inexpensive meal, but a something that's comparable to what they can afford.
Right. I think it's always been important. Got a sign up on the wall, actually. The barbecue sandwich in 1967, I believe was, I can't see it from here. I believe it was 30 cents.
So, 30 cents?
And a drink was $5. And that was in my dad's time. That's before my grandfather's time. So the prices have changed every time. They would think our prices were high, probably.
And you guys are not open on Sundays, right?
We're not up on Sundays. We certainly are Christian folks, but it really comes for the fact that, we work hard for those 6 days. We need that seventh day for our people to be able to come back the next week and do it again.
I'll spend family time in it. But I kind of wanted to highlight that because people might be coming into town for business and have to realize they need to come on Saturday or Friday.
It's really, and that's still, I guess, maybe my grandfather instilled it in a lot of the people who are in the barbecue business in this area had worked for our family at some time. It's sort of neat. Like there's a family tree of barbecue.
Oh, that's great.
You have to learn from somebody. But then my grandfather would always say that, if somebody's worked for you is not good enough of doing something on their own, they're not good enough to be working for you. So his theory there spawned a lot of barbecue places because a lot of guys, after they'd worked, 8-10 years, they were ready to do something on their own. So that's one of the things I think that's neat about our heritage is just the fact that, so many barbecues have come out of our barbecue.
It says a lot too to your business that people wanted to bring that on and open up their own place that's similar yet their own style. That's probably also too why they're not open on Sundays is because of you guys.
Well, you get used to it, and anybody who's open on Sunday, my friends in the restaurant business are sort of envious. They're not real envious after they work in the pits or come by and see what we do there. We pay for our good hours in the hard work we put in and cooking the main thing that we cook, which is the pork barbecue. You have to be open longer and all that stuff if you're not busy like we are, because you can pack it in a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that makes sense. And it makes sense. It's also too, because I think a number of other restaurants and other types of restaurants are closed on Sundays too. I didn't realize when I would come to the High Point, because I'd be there probably through Monday. I'd always,
right.
It was always kind of a challenge to find something on Sunday to eat.
Exactly.
So what else, to wrap it up, what else should people know about Stamey's that we didn't cover? Because I definitely want people to come and visit you guys as soon as
possible. Oh, we'd love to have them. This is a family barbecue restaurant, and my grandfather, my father and uncle, me, and then now my son actually has joined us. So he just graduated from college.
Well, I didn't know that. That's great.
A year and a half ago. And so he's working with me. So we now have four generations of Stamey's. We've never been owned by anybody else. So this is, you're really running into the historical family business. But, apart from that, it's just that we get up every day with the idea of we're gonna do it the right way and do it the old way. Trying to keep something alive that's sort of dying.
Mm-hmm. Sadly.
We don't. The truck doesn't back up to our restaurant, and we unload, and we are still working hard every day just to just to keep the traditions alive of this North Carolina style barbecue that people love so much.
Well, I commend you and I thank you too, because that's important to someone like me, and as well as anybody that's watching this appreciates it. So we definitely appreciate it. How, lastly, if people fly in, it's, if they say they're flying into town, would they generally right. fly into Greensboro or to Raleigh?
So the hub of the Piedmont region is Greensboro. Our airport's 10 minutes from our main restaurant here on Gate City Boulevard. So find us, it's pretty easy because we're right across the street from the Greensboro Coliseum. It's a 23,000 seat arena, you know, known for having the ACC tournament, like basketball tournament, mm-hmm. concerts, all that stuff. So you can follow the sign. There's no signs all across town that says where to go to Stamey's, but if you see the one that says Greensboro Coliseum, you can follow that and run right into it.
And if you ask anybody, they'll tell you where it is.
They will, and thankfully for that they will. But actually, our biggest advertisement is the smoke. So I went to a restaurant once, and I think it was in Florida, and it had a great sign that said, "If the pit ain't smoking, we ain't open."
That's great.
That's true. That's true at Stamey's for sure.
And that's also something too that a lot of people say, and that's a tip, that if you don't smell smoke or you don't smell, it doesn't smell like barbecue, there's a good chance they're doing something funny.
Yeah, and watch out for those wood piles that have mold on them. You know, yeah, our wood is still hilarious. Green. Yeah, oh, because hilarious. We get 3 dump trucks loads a week of that stuff, so you can't. I get a kick out of going to places and you see this really nice, neatly stacked like wood perfect, pile. Yeah. That's the one you got to watch out for.
Most definitely. Well, thank you, Chip. I appreciate your time, and thank you for sharing your story and everything about your restaurant. I totally appreciate it.
Well, good morning, and thanks again for having me, and we appreciate it. Hopefully you can get back to our area and eat some more Q.
I'll be out in a couple months, so I'll shoot you an email.